direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. But in the first hour, well, it's a radio lover's joy. And of course, if you listen to this show, I know you're a radio lover. You wouldn't put up with me. It's that simple. And if you are, I hope you realize you owe a debt of gratitude to Bob Crane. Because like many of us in the 70s, when radio reception was just terrible in the current radios, you know, they spent about 3 cents on the AM section and maybe a nickel on the FM section while they were touting all their sound quality, you couldn't pick up anything. Well, Bob Crane noticed that too and decided, I can do better. And boy, did he. And 1983, 33 and a third years ago, appropriate, isn't it? The C. Crane Company focused entirely on radio and related products and does to this day. Now, a few years ago, I think it was 2021, Bob stepped back from day-to-day operations. He's still involved in designing, believe me, so the products continue and get greater. And Jessica Crotty stepped up, CEO, I'll tell you. I bet she wasn't expecting that over 28 years ago when she joined the C. Crane Company. So, Jessica, welcome to WGN Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, absolutely. So I got to ask, more than 28 years ago, when you applied, were you in customer service originally?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And so when you applied for that gig, did it even cross your mind, you know, one day I'll just buy this company?
No, absolutely not.
That's about what I figured. So what were you doing before that? Of course, you're young and beautiful, so maybe you were in school, but were you working before that?
I was a gymnastics instructor and a personal trainer at a local gym.
Oh, that has a lot in common with radio. Not.
Right?
That's great. So customer service, and I'm sure in short order, you heard it all and did it all. And that's one of the things about the C. Crane Company, even back when you were first hired, is they were noted for incredible customer service, which continues to this day. Absolutely. So along the way, you advanced in your career. And I got to ask, before you ever applied for that customer service rep, when you were doing all things gymnastic, what kind of a radio fan were you?
I was the car radio fan.
Okay.
The car radio, and definitely the kid with the boombox that waited for the song to come on to make the mixtapes.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll take it. Now, did you grow up in Fortuna?
Yes, mostly.
Wow. Now, that's amazing to be able to pull that off. And, of course, in 28 years, the company has changed almost exponentially because 28 years ago, the Internet really was not a thing, if you will, and the C. Crane catalog could offer not only the products that Bob developed, but so many things that he loved. For instance, he got me the best set of tweezers. I still have it to this day. They were just wonderful. And all sorts of things like that I praise him for regularly, but it's some point, he realized, here's the Internet, and here's everything else, and we better just concentrate on radio. So tell me how that decision came about.
Yes, so that was actually one of my first jobs, was our first website.
Yeah.
And I got to spend a lot of quality time with Bob, converting our pictures from black and white into color.
Uh-huh.
And so along the way, Amazon came along and started selling, you know, more and more stuff, and we found that we needed to simplify, and carrying all, I think at one point we had 96 pages in our catalog.
I remember well.
And like you said, tweezers, salt and pepper shakers, lamps. Yeah. Like we've gone all the way around, always trying to find the best for the money. And then the best, that was kind of the two different things that we did. And then it was simplifying, like, what do we do really well? And focusing then on that. And then we had grown enough of our own brand to actually do that. So when we first started manufacturing, it was just the one CC radio.
Well, wait a minute. Now, I remember the first thing I ever ordered from the Sea Crane Company, and I still have it. And I think it was in 1983. I ordered a Select antenna.
Yes. Not ours, though. So
really?
That was
through, I thought it was.
No, it was... It wasn't. It was, I can't remember the name of the company, but it was somebody Bob worked pretty exclusively with. So we were one of the few that actually carried it, but it wasn't our own antenna.
Darn.
So the CC radio was our very first own branded Sea Crane. And I think that was in 97 when that came out. So just like a year after 98, 97, somewhere in there. And that was when it started, and then we grew the product line from there. And then once we got to a spot where we had enough products where we could really focus on our own line, that one was when Bob made the decision to simplify. It got to be, too, where it was very difficult to be profitable carrying all of those different products with the varying margins and all the different manufacturers and distributors that you had to deal with. It was kind of a nightmare.
Definitely a nightmare. Well, of course, deciding that you're going to design your own radio sitting there in California is not that easy to do when you decide you're going to go to market. So at some point, I assume Bob made his way to China?
Many times.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tell me about the first time, because that had to be a trip.
Yeah, so I wasn't even working here yet.
Really?
And it was with one of our partners, Sanjian was one of our first partners in the radios, and that was who he and Sue went over to with and to see, and he has some stories, boy, talking about how different it was. Like, when I've gone, it's, you know, high-speed rails, there's people everywhere that can help you, and people that actually speak English in a lot of cases too, in hotels. And when they went, it was not the case. Like, you're like on a back road with no pavement and military kind of around. And he's like, yeah, it was definitely not for the faint of heart. Where when I go now, it's not at all like that. You know, everybody's driving electric cars. People will come and get you. You can use apps to get around and do things. And it's,
yeah, now, the first thing I noticed about that first CC radio, of course, and it's still in there to this day, was that twin-coil ferrite antenna, which I absolutely adore, including external ones as well. But was the Sanjian radio that interested Bob before he became partners with them also using the twin-coil ferrite, or was that something he brought to the table?
That was something that we brought to the table, yes, and that was an invention from...
He should be knighted.
Our engineers.
Yeah, knighted for it, I'm telling you.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just the absolute absolute best. And the other thing that's so neat about the CC radios is we take it for granted in the U.S. that we're using 10 kilohertz spacing on AM, same with how we set up FM. But, you know, you go to other countries and suddenly you're faced with 9 kilohertz spacing, and if you have the average radio, it's not going to work. But the Sea Crane radios, I don't think there's one that doesn't work in either 9 or 10 kilohertz spacing.
No, they all do. The CC radio is the only one that's a little different, and it doesn't have like a switch to go back and forth, but you can tune with the rotary dial in 1 kilohertz.
Yeah, you sure can. And even that little CC pocket, which I carry in my purse, you can tune 1 kilohertz, 9 kilohertz, or 10 kilohertz. I know I don't need to tell you that, but yeah. And it was interesting because I remember an article I read where Bob was being interviewed, where he was talking, I think it was about the EP Pro, that he said he invented it because of his mother. So we'll pick it up right there. I'm talking to Jessica Crotty, and I'm going to hog her, but I'll be happy to take your calls. So several of you wrote saying, hey, I've heard Jessica on other shows. Have her on yours. Yeah, because you know something about radio. Well, happy to do that. So 888-876-5593-8888-RALEIGH. And, you know, I always say that the one thing every product Bob Crane developed has in common is terrific reception. And then some people say, well, what about the Wi-Fi radio? No, that has terrific reception. Now, it's not like AM or FM, it's not terrestrial radio, but if you have a wireless router, a wireless access point, especially if it's lackluster. You know what it's like when devices won't connect or won't stay connected, or you're in the far back room, or you're out on the lawn or whatever. Nothing, right? Well, I'll tell you what. The Wi-Fi radio, the CC Wi-Fi 3, will connect, which is really neat. And it's powered by SkyTune, which is a great little company, too. But I want to, since I'm talking about reception, I also want to mention right now the CC Vector Extended Long Range Wi-Fi system. It is just terrific. If you've got a lackluster Wi-Fi, and maybe you've got a CC Wi-Fi 3 and say, yeah, it really connects, but why doesn't anything else? Well, you can change that with a CC Vector. As long as you've got line of sight, you'll be able to get a signal up to half a mile. So, yeah, if you're in that all-steel building with all the doors shut, you're going to have a problem. But assuming that you've got line of sight, man, oh, man, and in your average house from room to room, you know, the back bedroom or whatever, it's going to work. And it's terrific. You know, you browse the web, and of course you're saying, well, I can do that with my wireless router. Yeah, but if you're a few rooms away from it, at what speed are you browsing? Yeah, what's your download speed? What's your upload speed? What's the ping time? Yeah, you need help. And you'll get it with the CC Vector Extended Long Range Wi-Fi system. Setup is really simple, and I stress that because a lot of people, well, let's face it, we're old dogs. We don't want new tricks. All right, well, setup is really easy. And the beauty of this is if you turn out you need help, I don't think you will, but if you do, C-Crane's U.S.-based customer support is ready to work with you no matter what time of the day or night. So check out the CC Vector. Go to ccradio.com. I always say that also, ccrane.com, but CC Radio. I love that because it's easy to remember, .com. Now, if you can't go online, well, granted, you probably don't want a CC Vector, but if you're looking for a gift, and particularly with that CC Wi-Fi 3, that makes a terrific gift for someone in your life who does have connectivity. Give them a call because they've got the best customer service. They'll answer all your questions. They'll send you a hard copy of the catalog in the mail. And you can order on the phone, too. And that's 800-522-8863. That's 522-TUNE, 800-522-TUNE. But if you can go online, the world is your oyster. So, yes, follow along as we continue with Jessica Crotty. And by the way, when you call him, you tell him Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
I'm laying back in my girlfriend's Cadillac, and it's a pleasant Sunday drive and a drink of beer. Just about dark, it's sundown in the park, and a beautiful backseat love affair. And the radio sings to you,
radio, radio loves you,
loves you, radio,
radio really loves you.
Memories will wax, take you there, and it'll get you everywhere.
Radio,
radio loves you,
loves you, radio,
radio really loves
a love affair
on the air.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that's P.R. Battle. That actually was his name, Paul Robert Battle. He's a guy from Nashville who wrote a few songs, including that, died about a dozen years ago in Atlanta, but left us with that 1977 on A&M, and yes, I don't know if radio loves us, but we love it, even today. We're talking to Jessica Crotty, and of course, she is the CEO of the C-Crane Company, a catalog that you should have. By the way, you can get them free if you want a hard copy. Just call them at 800-522-8863. Yes, Jessica, you know, it's interesting. Of course, radio has changed dramatically from when Bob and I were kids listening to it. But one thing is, of course, audio will always be with us, whether it's going to be on the internet or it's going to be on the air. Absolutely, audio is really a forefront. And the nice thing about it is you've got the CC Wi-Fi 3 and all these wonderful, wonderful radios. But looking at the future, what are you working on?
Yeah, so we are looking at a new internet radio that we are I guess, in the beginning stages of, and that will be something that maybe takes into all of the complaints that people have had about maybe what they don't like or what they wish could be a little better or different, and then some of our own special sauce also added in there, and that's one of the things that we're working on. And then we're also like desperately trying to figure out if there's a way to make a radio in America. And so that is something we've been working on for a long time. The current situation with everything has kind of made it more challenging, honestly, to figure it out, because the cost of parts, not all the parts are available in the U.S., and so figuring that part out is kind of where we're at. But we've had a design that has been being worked on, and so we're in the process of seeing how could we do that, and what would it take, and is it financially feasible, and if it is, or if it's not, and then if it's not, what else could we do that would potentially get us close to that? So
no, that's great. And I really hadn't thought about that. But of course, even if you're going to design it and build it here, at this point, some of the parts might be coming from abroad and the tariffs and all that stuff. So no getting around that, but hopefully there will be. All right. So two things that about the Wi-Fi radio while you're designing this. And you probably heard this ad nauseum, but just in case, I want to hardwire it, so I want an RJ45 port on the back of that puppy. I do not want to rely on Wi-Fi radio if I don't want to rely on Wi-Fi radio. So that's one, and like I say, I know. Now, the other thing, and I had talked with Bob about this at length, not only about the Wi-Fi radios, but about so many products, about making them fully accessible to people who cannot see. And, of course, you know, some of this, yeah, Alexa will help, but some of this, no, absolutely not. So have you put any attention to making these things accessible to the blind?
Yeah, so that's a conversation that's taking place with this version. Also, with our other radios, we do have several things that we do to make them more accessible as far as the way the buttons are designed. Mm-hmm. So if you look at, like, our CC radio solar, for example, that one has insets so you can feel and tell where they're at. And then we also have beeps. In some cases, we are able to make it where the beeps can be turned on and off so that people that don't prefer those can do that. But those are very helpful for people are either vision impaired or fully blind. We also work with different people. The most recent, I think it was for the CC radio solar Bluetooth, and we have audio instructions available to help people navigate the radio. So whether you are actually fully blind or just need some extra help, the audio instructions are actually really valuable and helpful.
That's terrific. And we will talk about that solar because it is just a terrific radio. But right now we'll find out what's going on in the world at large and get right back to it on WGN Radio.
Do, 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 do.
Please, Mr. Disc Jockey,
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Those are the Sensations. You remember them from 1956 and Let Me In? Well, there they were doing Please, Mr. DJ. Kind of fits the theme as we talk with Jessica Crotty, the CEO of the Sea Crane Company. And you know I love their products, and I want to talk more about a number of them. But I promised I would not hog Jessica, so I will take your calls. And Sherry in Naperville has a great question. So Sherry, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, how are you, Raleigh? And hello, Jessica. I have a very dumb question, and I proposed it to John, and I had started with, I know, in the late 80s or the 1990s when we had real airwaves. They had this little, like, 5-inch or 6-inch by 3-inch or 4-inch thing, and you could watch TV, and John said the name of it, and it made sense, but I completely left my brain.
And as you know, the Sea Crane radios, like the CC radios, did have the VHF band for years as far as that goes. But if you're asking, are there any radios that are picking up television today, I defer to Jessica on that because, of course, it's a lot different. So, Jessica, go for it.
Okay, let me tell you what I would like to find.
Okay, well, wait. Let me put you hold on. Are you still with us, Jessica? No, what did I do? Yeah, it's like, what on earth did I do? All right, let me figure this out. So I have seemingly lost Jessica. It was bound to happen. No, here we go. I'm going to put her there. And you'd think I didn't do this every night, but nonetheless, and I'll put Sherry there. And now I bet that we can talk to both Jessica and Sherry. So, yeah, are you both there?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so I think you heard Sherry's question.
Yes.
So what do you think?
So she was going to say what she was looking for, but we definitely can't get television anymore now that it's digital on radio. So that is not available. But if she's looking for like a mini television, because we did used to have something like that, it was the same signal, though. So
right.
It was like what was coming over VHF, and we, to my knowledge, there's nothing like that.
I don't know of any either, but so Sherry, that's the bad news.
Yeah, well, I remember back when in 9/11 and everything, I had this little itty bitty like 4x5.
Oh no, where were that?
Black and white.
Absolutely.
And my neighbor upstairs, her television broke, and I gave it to her for 9/11 so she could watch the news. And you just plugged it in. It worked.
Right. It won't and anymore. Not available.
Right. But what I didn't understand, even though there was such a conundrum over people not being able to call their relatives, I do not understand why, this isn't political, why Obama gave away everybody owned it in the Americas, citizenship airwaves.
No, he didn't. Believe me, it wasn't Obama. And it wasn't like that at all.
I thought it was so the digital companies could buy the band.
Yeah, that's part of the story, but it wasn't that simple. And yeah, I would say don't go there politically. There's a lot of reasons. And the question that many people are wondering now is at some point, will the AM spectrum be repurposed, which medium wave, which is possible, of course.
Is that they want to get rid of it?
Yeah, of course.
Well, no, they cannot.
It's the quality of the signal. That's part of what it,
right.
Like the reason for the television was because it got to the point where it was so much static and most people weren't getting it, so most people weren't watching. So the cost to maintain towers and stations that broadcast analog signals is expensive, especially when you don't have any dollars coming in because nobody can see it.
Right, and God forbid if you're a you, because ultra-high frequency means ultra-high power bills. Some of those were running over a million watts easily. So, yeah, absolutely. But, of course, the other thing is that spectrum usage just didn't make sense to leave it bulky there on what were the bands at the time. I think that's probably true for medium wave as well. It's a much better scheme for data. Now, those of us who are emotional about this, who grew up with DXing, who lived for picking up the distant stations, it's horrifying for us to even think that that's possible. But the reality is that technologically speaking, it's going to happen at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely hope from an emergency standpoint it doesn't.
Yeah. Well,
but it might at some point, I would imagine, especially as people continue to transition away from that medium, because if I think about my kids, right,
they don't know there's a, yeah, they don't know no. there's an AM section. Yeah, it's you know, it's now 40 years ago. I used to when I was programming, I'd go to the airport because, you know, the heck with the ratings. That just tells me how good a station's promoting locally. What I want to know is who's really listening. And there was nothing better than, you know, going down all the cars in the Hertz line, every one of them. And literally, it was the late 80s when I noticed that none of the AM presets had been set. On rental cars that had 40,000 miles on it, not an AM preset. So you could see it was coming. Now, I absolutely agree with you with regard to emergency use, particularly the move that they're championing now of let's put it on the internet. Well, guess what, gang? You got a real emergency. There is no internet. But what's the issue? Why can't FM serve in that way? Now, it's not going to cover the white spaces in that great amount of distance, but I assume that FM would be just as viable in an emergency.
Yeah, so they're not, though, designed to carry, like you said, all of the programming.
White, yeah, and they won't do the white spaces, yeah.
And it also, a lot of them don't have the backup power setup that's required by some of those big stations. So they would have to do some things to make sure that those 50,000-watt stations were replicated from the power standpoint. So if it goes down, they've got like all sorts of hardening that's taken place. They have tests they have to pass to make sure that they're going to be up if an emergency like that does happen. I think that there's more to it than that. And then also there's places where there's no programming, right? Like there's nobody manning those. They're all just digital. So I'm not sure what that would look like.
Yeah.
It definitely happens, though, in an emergency where the FM comes in and is the local hero.
Yeah, locally, there's no reason that FM couldn't do it. The problem is that no matter what, FM is not going to be able to bounce off the ionosphere layer and give us that white space coverage of multiple states. That just will not happen. But but for local use, it certainly could happen easily. And it seems that the emphasis seems to be on people who are thinking, well, let's put it on the internet, which is a disaster in a real emergency, because there will be no internet.
No, I mean, look at what happened with Maui. Look at what happened with L.A. Look what happened with North Carolina. I mean, you can example after example.
Exactly. And so I hope they'll rethink that. But as far as the local coverage, FM could do it. But you're right. A lot of owners aren't, and that's true of AM, too. A lot of owners aren't doing a darn thing for it. But the CC Solar BT is such a wonderful radio because it will work no matter what. I always say that, you know, here's the emergency. The lights are out. You reach for the radio and the batteries are dead. Well, it doesn't matter with the solar because you can hand crank it for about 30 seconds and go and play for about 30 minutes. So it's always going to work. Of course, if you left it in a windowsill, you'll get sunshine and solar power and all that. But the fact that no matter what, it will work, it will give you light, and it will charge a cell phone, you know, not to surf the net or anything, but to make that one emergency call. I don't think there's anything else like it on the market, is there?
Not that I'm aware of, especially not one that has replaceable lithium batteries. A lot of the ones on the market have the battery built in, so once it's out, you have to replace it, the whole radio. Ours is unique in that regard. We also have a larger solar panel so that it does have more power coming to it.
Yeah.
But no, and it has the Bluetooth now, so I was literally just listening to it with my family before I came down here to do this call and playing music from someone's Spotify playlist, one of my kids, and we were all listening, and everybody's like, oh, this radio is so great, and then I'm like, yeah, and then an emergency, so we were going over it, and I was like, yeah, that's the beauty, or listening to audiobooks while you're doing the dishes or whatever it is that you're doing. It's got a lot of versatility.
It does, and it looks good, because, you know, normally when you say wind-up emergency radio, and some of the older ones that I had, you know, they were a little cloggy, to say the least, but this is clean-looking. It looks like a small white brick.
Yes, it is. It's a nice radio.
Yeah. All right. So thanks for the question, Sherry. And Jay is in Green Valley. In fact, he's one of the guys who said, you got to have Jessica on. So, Jay, welcome to WGN Radio.
By all means, thank you very much. Nice to talk to you ladies tonight. How are you?
All right.
Good. Hey, Jessica, I'm really happy that you and Bob, you're taking over the what Bob has started and continuing on that road. That I'm really happy about that.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Okay. And to tie in on to the thing that you were talking about, yes, FM might be around, but and what I'm going on now is just what's happening in L.A. is there's nobody who can cover it. There's really not a newsroom to cover it and know what to do.
Right.
So you might have that signal, but it's not there. And as far as what I'm doing now, I can see, fortunately, there are citizen journalists who are live vlogging right now from downtown in L.A. and New York and Chicago, and they're doing a heck of a job.
Okay, I want to talk about L.A. a minute, since you're listening to that and I haven't been. As you know, Odyssey now has KNX, and of course the AM is a nice 50,000-watt station, but they also, as you probably well know, simulcast it on 97.1, the old KGBS-FM. And that signal, not the best in the world, but still, it's a pretty darn good FM signal as far as Flint Peak goes. So they're not sending anybody there, the all-news station?
Very few. Some poor guy the other night was there, and he got a whiff of, he wasn't even prepared, he got a whiff of a tear gas, and that took him out. And I was reading somebody from Sky News Australia, she got a hit in the head with a rubber bullet. So they're not coming to a scene prepared,
all right.
And that takes out your eyes and ears right away.
Well, that's a shame, because, of course, that 1070 used to be kind of like the Cadillac of all news, when, as far as that goes. They had hot and cold running people. So very interesting.
And KFI, and then when this all started happening in California, I started listening, and they had nobody. There was nothing going on.
Oh, that's sad.
So,
truly sad.
Yeah.
All right.
So we can have the signal, but if there's nobody who knows how to cover it and is down there, then that's hard.
Well, that is hard, but that's a whole different question which should be tackled. But as far as technically, I don't want them to go to the internet. I think we're just dead meat if that happens.
Yes, it goes down.
All right. Yeah.
So if the power grid goes down, it goes down.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate the call, Jay.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
All right. So, I know Jay is a big fan of the Sea Crane Company, and he's one of the people who wrote and said, "Gotta have Jessica on." My pleasure. Jeff is a first-time caller, and he is in Monroe, Michigan. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Thank you, Raleigh. The guest is Jessica.
Yes.
Jessica, my daughter's got me the Sea Crane 2E for Father's Day last year. Best radio I've ever had. And I just love it. The only thing I was having problems with, the shortwave, it worked great, and then I was having problems, and then I turned off the weather alert, and when I used it, and then it worked fine. So I wonder if that's something that I discovered, but now I just turn off the weather alert when I want to use the shortwave.
That's interesting. Jessica, is that a known problem?
Not that I know of. But if you're trying to listen to the ham band, maybe there could be some interference there.
That might be.
But you fixed it. That's the best news, Jeff. You fixed it.
Yes, and I love your show, Raleigh, the Sea Crane Radio. It's an awesome radio.
Excellent. Thanks for calling, Jeff.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Take care.
All right.
You bet. Bye.
So, 888-876-5593. I'm talking to Jessica Crotty. Hopefully, I will have time to get to your calls. I know Karen's waiting patiently, but I got to do this first on WGN Radio. WGN Radio will forego the final bumper. Yes, you get to miss BJ the DJ by Stonewall Jackson. Yeah, no great loss there. However, I've got less than 3 minutes. I'm talking to Jessica Crotty of the Sea Crane Company, and Karen's been patiently hanging on there. So, Karen, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh, and hello, Jessica. I wanted you to know how wonderful your telephone reps are. I'm totally blind. I really don't know how to shop online, and obviously I can't read the catalog. They are just wonderful. Even if you don't know what catalog number, if you have an idea of what you want, you just have to explain it to them, and they will pick out something that you really like.
That's terrific.
And they're And they are so polite and so helpful. I'll help you with just about anything. I am a big fan of the earbuds because I have a hearing loss. And one of them told me about the headphones with the, it has a little remote thing, like a switch. You can turn it off or on, and you can use it, you can use the volume up or down. And it works so great with my iPad. And I'm one of those people that crawls in bed and listens to audio stuff on headphones. And they are just great.
It's terrific. I hate to cut you off, Karen, but I'm running out of time, so I'll talk to you soon. All right.
It's okay.
And yeah, we didn't even get to talk about the FM transmitter 3 or those pillow speakers, and I really am a gorilla. I go through those pillow speakers right and left, but they're the best. All right. So I want you to promise me, Jessica, when you're ready to debut another product or know what you're going to have, you'll let us know so we can have you on the air to talk about it.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate it.
All right. So the Sea Crane Company, ccradio.com. I like to say that, but seacrane.com as well. And Jessica Crotty, the CEO, doing Bob Crane proud. All right. Next hour, it's all about you. I know I can't avoid Brian Wilson, so we'll pick it up there right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and you're saying, why would you pick Surfer Girl? Well, because that's the first song Brian Wilson ever wrote. Yeah, long before it was recorded or released by Capitol. He was just out of high school, and he was at El Camino College, and he lasted about 18 months and, you know, left. By the way, he was pretty good with classical music, but he didn't like the fact that his teachers were just absolutely critics of anything that was pop. But in 1961, inspired by Dion and the Belmonts' rendition of When You Wish Upon a Star, that's what he based his first entirely original melody, well, other than it was based on When You Wish Upon a Star, was Surfer Girl. And now, it's interesting, that is his account of it, but some of his high school buddies, Al Jardine and such, disputed that. Said, oh no, there were earlier things. But by all accounts, as far as in Brian's words, that was the first one. And in some ways, he was boy most likely in every phase of his life. He was born in Inglewood in 1942, graduated from high school class of 60s. His family moved to Hawthorne in the South Bay section of Los Angeles, a working class neighborhood. His father, Murray, was a kind of frustrated musician of his own and a machinist. And by all accounts, including Brian Wilson's memoirs and the other boys as well, he was just abusive. Horribly abusive. And in fact, Brian was partially deaf in one ear, and it was probably because of the beatings from Murray. Murray was a big fan of the Four Freshmen, though, and Brian became one. That's for sure. One of his big influences were the Four Freshmen, and you hear that in all of the Beach Boys melodies. But he also was a fan of Phil Spector, and you hear a lot of that in his work. And they did collaborate on some things, as well as the usual denizens of the day. But he grew up listening to things like the Johnny Otis Show on K-Fox. So there was R&B in his background as well. Now, when he was about 12 years old, it wasn't songwriting per se. I guess it was a reinterpretation of the lyrics of "O Susanna." So he was always always interested from the time anyone could remember. And but he was not a musical nerd. He played quarterback for Hawthorne High School and American Legion Baseball. And so it wasn't only that stuff, and worked some non-music jobs, working in a jewelry store and things like that. And but music was his love. And for his 16th birthday, he got the Wallensack. We all got that. The portable two-track. Yeah, one head. Don't even ask. But it allowed him to experiment with rudimentary production techniques, and he was interested from minute one in harmonizing, and so that was the deal. Now, the formation of the Beach Boys, they weren't called the Beach Boys initially, but it was the three Wilson boys plus their cousin Mike Love and their classmate Al Jardine, and they were the Pendletones. And so Dennis had suggested it, and that's when Brian and Love co-wrote "Surfin'." And as you probably know, they played it for Jan and Dean, who wanted it. Said, "Oh no, I've that and Surfin' USA. I've promised to the Beach Boys, but we'll do something for you." And of course, that something was "Surf City," and it went to number one. But the first time they appeared as an opening act for Ritchie Valens, the Memorial Dance, at 1961. And so and they were on Candix Records originally, which was not much of a label. And in fact, it was Murray, their dad, that ended that contract. But Surfin' was on Candix, that's for sure. And of course, the surf craze was really starting up in many ways. And I think it was Russ Reagan, the label head, who renamed them the Beach Boys to capitalize on surf, as far as that goes, when he signed that contract. And of course, Capitol was their home for forever. But it's interesting that in many of the obits, they will talk about how Wilson wrote for other acts as well. And not in any ways to cast aspersion at Brian Wilson, because I would agree in many ways he was a musical genius. But the one thing that I always thought is, I don't care what the group was, they wound up sounding the same. And the best example I have is the Castells. You might remember the Castells from the 60s. They were on Era. They had a couple of small hits, my favorite being "Sacred." You probably remember some of it.
Sacred,
whoa, whoa, whoa.
Our love is sacred,
whoa, whoa, whoa.
Church bells were ringing on the Sunday we met.
You get the idea. All right, so that was the Castells, one of their two hits, that and "So This Is Love." But then Brian Wilson writes and produces a record for the Castells, and it turns out to be "I Do." Right, so then he came up with a record for the Beach Boys, and the Beach Boys passed on it. They said, "We are not singing that song." And well, the title alone would tell you why. "Guess I'm Dumb." So Glenn Campbell, who'd been touring with the boys playing guitar, said, "Well, I'll do it." And yeah, maybe not one of his best ideas either.
The way I act don't seem like me. I'm not on top like I used to be. Like give in when I know I should be strong. I still give in even though I know it's wrong.
All right, so was a little forgettable. Guess I'm dumb. All right, and then it was the Honeys. And the Honeys turned out to be great for Brian because he married one of them. And, yeah, that was his first wife. They were originally the Ravel sisters. And he took a liking to Marilyn. And there are interesting stories there, too. In fact, his first breakdown occurred because of her. And I'll get to that. Not her fault, by the way. But she was the central figure in that particular breakdown. But they did get married. And it's interesting because, as I say, Hawthorne is very working class suburb of Southern California, the South Bay. And here are the Ravel sisters, who are from Fairfax. And this same district that Phil Spector graduated from Fairfax High, and Herb Alpert, and many, many others. And the bottom line is some of his Hawthorne neighbors were not prepared for, as some of them called her, a Fairfax Jew. Hey, she was great, and the Honeys were as well. But it still comes down to, and they opened for the Beach Boys as far as that goes too. And we'll talk more about how he got together with Marilyn, who I think was 15 at the time when they started dating. But she was all of just turned 17 when they married. But like I say, all of the Honey stuff sounded like the Beach Boys. Well, to me anyway. So there were the Honeys and Marilyn Ravel. Like I say, they married in 1964. She was 17. He was 22. The two kids they had were well known to you, Carney and Wendy. So, and then, of course, he later married Melinda, who he was married to from 95 until she died last year. And they had five kids, Daria and Delaney and Dylan and Dash and Dakota. And those were the five there. And sadly, when she died, that's when the family and others said, we need a conservatorship here. But going back to it, in terms of psychological problems, they first surfaced toward the end of 1964. Brian had a nervous breakdown on a plane flight to Houston. And some people say that was the turning point in his mental health journey. But the reality was there was a thing where he had somewhat of a fight with Marilyn, and he was afraid that she was going to have an affair with Mike Love. I'm not making this up. And he went crazy, absolutely went crazy. And so the bottom line, though, was he started to hear voices and more by early 65, 22 years old, not even married a year. He's having auditory hallucinations, which he described, by the way, this will sound familiar to you, Heroes and Villains. And he was, by this time, openly discussing the voices in his head. And so, needless to say, he stepped away from touring, focusing on songwriting and production at that point. The onset of hallucinations was really the start of a real decline, which led, as you well know, if you've been keeping up with the Beach Boys, periods of seclusion and periods of substance abuse and, paranoia and erratic behavior and all. Very sad as far as that goes. But he still, when you get right down to it, was a visionary. In fact, the Beach Boys say that the Beatles, I should say, Paul McCartney said that Pet Sounds directly inspired them to create Sgt. Pepper's. And no official cause of death as far as that goes. But sadly, last year in the news a lot, because after Melinda died, his second wife, the family and caregivers and those around him petitioned the court for conservatorship. And that's, I think, last February of 2024. And the court approved it about a year ago and appointed his longtime publicist and business manager as co-conservators. And he agreed to it, consented to it, and the daughters were okay with it. So while the tabloids would have said that it was just terrible, everybody, in fact, was okay with that. He was not officially diagnosed with schizoaffective disorder, until later in life. He was working with an interesting psychiatrist, we'll just say that, controversial, Dr. Landy, who diagnosed that around 1993, and so schizoaffective disorder, but basically all the things that you know. And so now with Brian's death, that's it. Dennis, who was the drummer, of course, what they say, drunk diving. He died after going on a real bender in December of 83 and dove into Marina Del Rey Harbor and never surfaced. And so there was burial at sea. Carl, sadly, 1998, 51, lung cancer. And as far as I know, Marilyn is still alive. Marilyn Ravel, she remarried. She got into real estate. And I think she's now Marilyn Wilson Rutherford. And so as far as I know, she's doing just fine. So that's the deal there. Any questions? Yeah, that believe me, is a very small part of the Brian Wilson story. But I figure that all the other stuff you're going to hear on the obits and stuff like that, and I always try to find things that maybe isn't as much in the news. So there you have it. Okay, 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's from Pet Sounds. And Pet Sounds, the album that influenced the Beatles to do Sgt. Pepper's. Well, I'll tell you what. This was Brian being at his most nuts. He was, of course, having all sorts of problems in his marriage with Marilyn, and he developed this crush on her older sister, Diane. And in fact, Wouldn't It Be Nice was written for Diane, as far as I know. And, Marilyn and he would, separate, get back together, all sorts of things. Ultimately, the drugs drove her away. But Pet Sounds was at a particularly interesting time for Brian and Marilyn. So there you have Wouldn't It Be Nice. And she liked the album, as far as that goes. And of course, Diane was one of the Ravel sisters, as I mentioned. And later, she and Diane, Marilyn and Diane, formed American Spring, which was a collaboration. And you'll see maybe in some of the Brian Wilson obits that he also wrote for American Spring. Well, that's who American Spring is. So anyway, that's the deal there. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. We'll check out the news, and then we'll check out Jim from Richmond and Laura from Willowbrook, and you two coming up on WGN Radio.
Rotate.
Revolution, circle, circle, circle round, circle, circle, circle round.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Rachel and the Revolution. And the Rachel and the Revolvers. There you go. The Revolution. There's a dash between Revo and Lucian. It was on Dot in 1962, and I should have played it because actually, as far as Brian Wilson's non-Beach Boys stuff, that probably is the one song that doesn't exactly sound like the Beach Boys. And Rachel was actually a soul singer and just terrific as far as I'm concerned. And I think her name was like Betty Jane Willits. Well, she was murdered. She became homeless, and she was murdered in Santa Ana several years ago now. And, I think about 5 or 6 years ago. But anyway, Betty Ann Willis. So, Rachel and the Revolution. The Revolvers, as far as who were the Revolvers, were Brian Carl and Gary Usher, who was absolutely instrumental in Brian Wilson's early writing career, as far as that goes. And he was known for his work in surf and hot rod music, but he got into horror theme, and he formed the Ghouls, and it was a studio group. But my favorite was he'd do things like The Little Old Lady from Transylvania and Be True to Your Ghoul and things like that. Sadly died of lung cancer. He was only about 50, and that's probably about 35 years ago now. But nonetheless, they were pretty close for quite a while, he and Brian Wilson. So yeah, I didn't want to leave the story completely without at least getting in some of Rachel and the Revolvers. And we'll talk about Murray coming up too, just a little bit. They fired him. All right, we'll get to that. But Jim is in Richmond. So Jim, welcome back to WGN Radio. Thanks for waiting.
Yes, and I just want to let you know there's a lot of things I want to talk about tonight. Will you give me time?
Well, hey, go right ahead.
Okay. Number one, this is an LOL. Monday night, I lost the Gilmore Girls trivia, and then you said you needed callers,
So
I called back to ask for a Big Bang trivia, and then you came back from the commercials, and you said, oh, we already talked to James Big Bang, so and then you hung up.
I'm sorry. John didn't mention that it was different. I thought, because, a lot of times I forget to release the line, so I thought, I did that. Oh, sorry about that.
I was sitting here laughing because I was trying to help you out.
Yes,
because you needed callers.
Absolutely, and I thank you more than you know. And as you know, I can't hold a thought hostage. And the worst part here, thank God for people like Adam who keep me straight and narrow. I forget I'm on the radio, right. So I don't do the breaks. I don't do anything. So anyway.
Right. I'm not holding that against you.
Thank you.
I just thought it was funny.
Yeah, all right.
And then secondly, can we go back to the question from the Gilmore Girls? I just wanted to let you know that her three boyfriends went on to very big things. Dean went on to a show with Patterson about trying to find their fathers, and then they had I don't remember the name of the show, but it was like they were spiritual things,
Mm-hmm.
And then Jess went on to the big, long series, This Is Us. He was the father of the three people in that This Is Us.
Yeah.
And then Logan went on to being on, I had it before I called, The Good Wife. He was on with The Good Wife.
All right.
And the person he was working with that was the woman who played Leonard's mother in the Big Bang Theory.
Okay.
So they're all related.
And that's good. It's nice to see they're working. Far too many people who get a gig in a sitcom or things of that nature, then they're just cold as ice after that. So it's nice to see they went on to other things. It's good.
Right. And then now for the news that's to my heart.
Okay.
I called you Monday, and I said I would call you back.
Yes.
But after hearing Fran, we're all praying for her.
Oh, yes, and hopefully she'll call us and let us know how things are doing.
Right. Now, my sister, on Monday, she was doing good.
Okay.
And, and she was up and relating to people and everything. and then they decided to do a MRI on her brain to find out if she did have a stroke.
Okay.
And then Tuesday, everything went downhill.
No.
She, you know, on Monday she went to physical therapy. She was walking 100 steps up and down the hall, and then she was able to get up and out of bed. And my brother said, "Now call the nurses, and they will take you to the bathroom," and stuff like that. So it was looking very good. And then Tuesday, it went all totally reversed. And the nurses were upset because they had to clean her up and all that kind of stuff. And then later on, it turned out that she, they found out that on, you know, well, I don't know if it was yesterday or today, they found out she was bleeding tremendously. She had blood in her urine and blood in her, but she's had blood in her stools all along.
Oh, that's not good.
And, right. And they found out that there was no problem with the MRI on her brain, so good. She didn't have a stroke.
Good.
And then yesterday, I mean, I don't know if it was earlier today or last night, mm-hmm. but she was out of it. She wasn't even there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was like, I don't know, it's not comatose, but she wasn't there.
You're
and
right.
And then today, like I said, they found out all this bleeding in her urine and in her stools, but she's been, you know, her stools have been black all along. You know,
well, you say so, all along. I mean, that's pretty darn serious. That they need to look at that. And of course, when you say she's out of it and non-communicative and all that, when you're dealing with a lot of blood loss, that's including impinging on the brain. So that's not unusual.
Right. So they did CAT scans,
mm-hmm.
and they can't find out where the bleeding is.
They've got to find that out. So then they're doing other tests, right?
Right. So and then they started giving her plasma, anticoagulants, and one other thing my brother told me, but I couldn't remember what it was. And my sisters went up to visit her, and today she was totally lucid.
Right.
The brain guy, neurologist, what I call it, came in and talked to her, and she was totally answering his questions and everything, and up and down. And right now, they're saying that her liver is, they're fighting to keep her liver.
Okay.
And they don't know if the bleeding, they said that her blood is so thin that they don't know where she's bleeding from. But I'm thinking it's that her liver is just giving up the blood because it's so thin.
And there could be a lot of things. Obviously, if they're looking at the liver, you know, a simple blood test will tell you what's going wrong there. And you know, and yes, absolutely, that's serious. But as long as they're continuing to look at things, so they get to the bottom of this.
Right. So then, so they're looking at that. But they said earlier that her liver is failing, and my brother told me yesterday that they were going to flush her liver.
Uh-huh.
I'd never heard of that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's it absolutely. They're trying to remove the toxins and the impurities, and you know, that's not unusual. Unfortunately, people try it at home too. That's not always the best idea, but yeah,
right.
they can do things.
They're working very hard to save her liver, and it was revealed to the doctors that she's been drinking since she was 15 years old.
Right. Well, all of that, like I say, the nice thing about the liver is it's pretty much unambiguous. You will see these results in blood tests. This is something that's easy to identify. And, you know, if she's dealing with cirrhosis, and there are several other things that could be is in addition to that, but, you know, when you're talking about heavy drinking, the first thing you think about is cirrhosis. But that's not an unknown thing. Whether or not that's the source of the bleeding is an entirely different matter.
Right. And then my brother tells the doctor, well, it was only beer. And then the doctor says, I'm sorry, but the liver doesn't know the difference
between
beer and alcohol.
Right, right, right,
right.
What your brother's trying to say is that the alcohol content wasn't that high comparatively, but the compared to backyard gin or whatever. But here's the deal:
right.
Over a period of time and the amount, absolutely, that can cause problems.
Right. They did a full body CAT scan.
Good.
And
good.
They can't find. Where she's bleeding internally, and tomorrow they're going to do another CAT scan, and they're going to look at her gallbladder.
Right, that's probably not doing that. Normally, it's they call it the portal vein system, but I'm sure they're looking at it. The problem is that the veins, the walls of the veins, because the veins are enlarging, become thinner, and if that ruptures, you can have a bleed. That's how cirrhosis. But you mentioned that she was seeing it in her urine, I'm not so sure about that. So, they're doctors and they're looking at it. That's the good news.
Right. And my friend told me that because she's been studying the body for all her life, she said that the liver and the gallbladder are connected, and
well, of
she
course.
Said this is really bad, because she said your body regenerates every 6 weeks, and she said also this is the period where the liver is regenerating.
Well,
it takes 6 weeks.
Well, I don't want to play doctor or have anybody else play doctor, but
right.
But at least they are looking at the various things, and there are many things that can cause an internal bleed, and I'm glad they're not giving
right.
up.
Right, and that's what's happening today.
Okay.
And I will call you tomorrow night what they find out about the latest CAT scan.
Yeah, if they do,
then,
as long as they keep looking, they still might not have a definitive cause.
Right. And now I have a few other things.
Mm-hmm.
My brother was complaining that he lives in Bristol, Wisconsin, on the Illinois border, and that he can't find a radio that works for him. So I gave him my pocket radio.
Okay.
And I talked to him today. And he says it works great.
Of course it does.
And I, after listening today, can you recommend a new one for me?
Well, it depends what you want. You know, what I really want you to do is either get a copy of a hard copy of the catalog, or go online. If you have that, okay.
In the past,
right? Then it depends what you want, because they all have different features. And so,
right.
Like I say, I keep the CC2E by my bedside, but in the bathroom, I keep the CCEP Pro, and I keep
right.
them everywhere. The little pocket radio I carry in my purse, and
right.
the Solar BT is neat, because when everything else fails, it'll work. So just look at the various features, and including the Skywaves, which are shortwave radios, and see what you're interested in having a radio do, because they got them all.
Right. Well, we talked about this before, being 100 miles from WGN.
Yeah, right, and that puts it in the phase
zone.
My
pocket radio, I can hold it in my hand, and if I move it just a little degrees to the right or left, it drops out.
Yeah, well,
so
right.
I'm wondering if you have a better radio.
No, it's not. It's not
me.
Like that, as far as that goes. Whether the CC Radio 2E would do that or not, I don't know. I keep a little turntable to put my radios on, so I can swing it in any direction I want. But no radio is going to do what isn't over your head at the moment. So
right.
from that standpoint, if you didn't have any CC radios, I'd say, well, get one and see what you got. But if the pocket works for you, it's a fairly inexpensive solution. But like I say, I keep the 2E by my bedside, and John keeps the 3 by his bedside. But I have once again run out of time this hour, so we'll talk more about it when you call tomorrow.
I have more questions.
Okay, well then, hang on. Don't go away. All right, and we'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio.
the first time we met, I really knew a love could be found. It was so true, oh yeah. Cause
when I look into her eyes, I can only realize I love my Andrea.
Love to her, her emotions didn't even stir, oh yeah,
cause when I look into her eyes, I can only realize I love my Andrea.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Those are the Sun Rays. They originally were the Rangers in Southern California. They were kind of a surf band. And when the Beatles fired Murray Wilson as manager, they did that in 1964. It was quite ceremonious. And yeah, you can probably read all about it. But anyway, Murray goes out and gets the Rangers and decides he's going to produce them, which is why they kind of sounded like the Beach Boys. And Andrea on Tower, the budget label of Capitol, did quite well. And I Live for the Sun did okay too, and I don't know what happened to any of them. Richard Henn was the leader of that. He wrote the stuff and did lead vocals and played drums. All right, so there you have the Sun Rays, and that's the story of Murray. All right, yeah. So why is that not surprising? All right, so wrapping it up with Jim in Richmond. So sorry about that. What else you got?
I just want to say to everybody out there that family members need to communicate. My sister was never hospitalized, and nobody knew who her primary doctor was, what insurance she had, and what was going on, because she never had any problems. Everybody else in my family has had several problems and going on, and it took the she was at Lutheran General Hospital in Park Ridge, and they've been going out of their way for her. And
I get it. Now I want to stop you a minute and say communication isn't the key, because some family members are not going to communicate. But having all of that information written and available in some place where, if it's needed, it can be found, is the way to go. You're not going to get people to talk to each other who otherwise don't want to. But you can have the stuff in writing. But I got a full board of calls. So real quickly, wrap it up.
Right, but what I'm trying to get at, it took the social worker at that hospital to find out that she had a separate, you know.
Yeah, of course. No,
you know,
of course, to get all the details.
To her,
right,
she knew. To her Medicare.
Right.
And that's what I'm trying to get across.
Understood.
And that she's now covered because...
Right.
All along, she was only under Medicare.
Right.
And now they found out she has
a secondary. She has a Medigap policy.
Right.
Right.
Medigap, yeah.
Yeah. No, I understand that.
Well, I just...
agree.
And I just want people to know that, because no one knows what's going on.
Well, that's why it's important to have it written. And also, while you're at it, not only that information written, but everybody needs an advance directive, a.k.a. a living will. And you need to do it right for your state, so your family will not have to make a decision. Of course, that's true.
Right.
So, yeah, you betcha. You. All right.
And then also, too... You're going to play a song from me anyways, but can you please play God Only Knows by the Beach Boys?
I'll do it. I wouldn't on my own, but sure. Okay, we'll do it. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
All right,
bye-bye.
Deal. All right, so 888-876-5593. God Only Knows. Oh, help me. All right, Laura and Willowbrook, welcome to WGN Radio. Laura.
Oh, my God, Raleigh. That's all I'm going to say about that last call.
Okay.
more on that another day. But, oh, my gosh, I grew up in the 60s and just the Beach Boys. Mm. My brother, I think he bought every single record there was. He probably still has them today. And if you don't mind someday playing Little Deuce Coupe, if it's an okay song for you.
Yeah, I like Shutdown better, but I'll play Little Deuce Coupe. It's the flip side of Surfer Girl. Sure.
All right, sounds good then. Okay. All right, thank you,
Rally.
All right,
thanks, Laura. Appreciate it.
Good night.
Yeah, much rather play Little Deuce Coupe than God only knows. All right, so now, but yeah, I actually liked Shutdown a lot. That says something about me, I'm sure, that we probably don't want to discuss. Now, we've got Ruth and Gurney. Welcome back, Ruth.
Hi, Rally. Thank you. First of all, I have a comment for Jim.
Yes.
Because I had 1 year to live in 1995, and I needed a liver transplant.
Yes.
I know all the names of the doctors, the nurses, the corridor. They got flooded, and I woke the nurse up, and she was a jerk. But the corridor was flooded, and a guy was in the bathtub with a locked door. And so a Berwyn Police Department responded with all the equipment. And then all kinds of other things involving the hospitals, the nursing homes, and telling the doctor, get out of my room. I don't believe you. There's a 12-year waiting list for a liver transplant, mild cirrhosis of the liver from hepatitis. Well, mild hepatitis. But lots of hospitals, nursing homes, and whatever. And so the other thing, though, that I wanted to mention about that is also I had a grandson who hit a semi-truck, and he's alive, and he's gone through a tremendous amount for the last 2 years. Mm. I have a son who can barely walk, and that's been going on for 6 or 7 years because he needs a hip replacement. And I have another son who's had a kidney removed and 5 hernia operations. And he's in between a slow boat to, it hasn't arrived at its destination, an astrological sign. Mm-hmm. So I believe in a policy that I have. I'm not afraid to die. And I count my blessings. It's incredible to be able to count my blessings. But Fran, I had a mass set for her.
Oh, thank you.
Several months ago because
She mentioned
she was having a problem with the arthritis.
Yes.
And I said, if I considered the needs of someone else for that, I would have that as my, I can say, juxtaposition for, like, when I've been on the phone for you for a long time, especially at night, I get horrendous pain in the hands, the knees, the legs, the arms, and all of those things. And it might take me hours or days to try and get it to be alleviated. Mm. But if I take the needs of someone else and I do this mass with St. Alphonsus, who is in charge of arthritis, and it's one of my many, many daily novenas and prayers and things like that, I think that there's a fighting chance for Matthew 19:26. So the mass being said was done months ago, and when it's your time to go, it's your time to go. And the least afraid of it that you are is the better that you can honor. The praises go up and the blessings come down, which are the healings.
Right. Well, so I got nothing to worry about then, because I'm ready tonight. All right.
Absolutely.
I don't know, and I wouldn't care. No, if it's time to go, I'm ready. Gotta go. Now, I always have to mention.
Right now.
Yeah, right. I'm not suicidal, not the least bit suicidal, but I am ready tonight as good as any. Let's go.
Well, if he wanted you tonight, he'd have taken you yesterday.
Oh, God.
All right. Goodbye.
Okay, thanks.
Good night.
Appreciate it. Yeah, don't rain on my parade. I've still got hope. We've got a few more hours. All right, 888-876-5593. I've always been like this. 88 Raleigh on WGN Radio.
You don't know what I got. You don't know what I got. and coming off the line when the light turns green. The world she blows them out of the water like you never see. I get pushed out of shape and it's hard to steer. When I get rubber in all four gears, she's my little loose coop. You don't know what I got.
WGN Radio, I'm Ollie James. And yes, you got to hear him as all Little Deuce Coop, and that's because I was looking for God Only Knows, which we have found. So God Only Knows, I'll play it after the news. All right, so there. Now, David in Winthrop Harbor, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Ollie, I haven't called you today, so not welcome back. But well, I've got to tell you a little story right quick.
Mm-hmm.
With all this Beach Boys.
Mm-hmm.
So in around 1980 at Great America, that's over here in Illinois, Gurnee, we did a little family deal where we did a tape recording of Surfin' City, USA. And
by the way, that's two different songs entirely. Surf City and Surfin' USA are two different songs.
I hear you. Trust me, I liked the tune, but I wasn't in the Beach Boys like my uncle. So anyway, we did a little karaoke, and we made a little tape recording of it, which unfortunately, you know, is cassette recordings go, but you know, you pay a fee and you do that, but kind of brought me back, and it's amazing. I listen to your show, Raleigh, and every you touch on memories of my past that are poignant, and so I'm not an expert on that, on the Beach Boy era, but I did appreciate when you explain the whole Brian Wilson, the whole Beach Boy scene, you know, and all that history.
Okay.
And I'll caveat on this and I'll let you go. You asked, remember we were talking about the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band?
Yes, I'm afraid I do.
Oh.
So go on.
The Nitty Gritty Dirt Band a little bit.
All right.
But we're talking about Bojangles.
Yes. Jerry Jeff Walker song, yes.
And you said, why did you pick that version? Well, that was kind of dedicated to my late great uncle, Jim Morrison.
Okay.
And so it kind of, that's kind of my, you know,
well,
I said I'm a product of the 60s.
All right.
So I don't, and I don't have any, I don't even own any Beach Boys, but I do like Surf City. So what you were trying to explain to me, I think, was Surf City USA.
No, no, Surf City is one song, and Surfin' USA is another song.
And what was the name of the album?
No, there were 45s. I'm sure they were on album, but these are all 45s. Remember the years you're talking about. And so, Surf.
Yes.
So, Surf City is a Jan and Dean record from 1963. And Surfin' USA is a Beach Boys record. Oh, God,
I know, but I'm talking about 1979.
Well, I can't help you with 1979. These records came out in 1963. Surfin' USA came out in 1963 by the Beach Boys on Capitol, and Surf City came out in 1963 by Jan and Dean.
Okay, well, I just want to say I love the tunes, and I wasn't born. I wasn't born then,
mm-hmm.
But I like the
All right, well, that's the deal. That's where they're from, and they were 45. Surf City was on Liberty. And Surfin' USA was on Capitol.
Are you going to play both of them?
I would hope to play neither of them, but I will be happy to play. play. Yeah, but I'll tell you, it's better than God Only Knows. Yeah, you people are doing it to me tonight. All right,
I'm sorry,
I'll...
This is...
Well, which one do you prefer, Surf City or Surfin' USA?
Surfing USA. That's what we did it.
Okay, yeah. The bigger hit was Surf City, so I'll be happy to do Surfing USA.
I can't remember. It's the same.
I'll be happy to do Surfing USA. You will hear it tonight. All right. You'll hear it tonight before the show is over. And thank you, David. I appreciate the call.
Peace, Raleigh.
All right. So 888-876-5593. We'll get to Cindy in Chicago and hopefully you too on WGN Radio. Oh, we don't have a break. All right. Well, even better. All right. We don't have a break. So in that case, I get to go to Cindy right away. All right, Cindy, get down with your bad self. What's up?
Well, I just want, I don't know if you'll play it, but I know, but I wanted to hear Rock and Roll Heaven.
I'm probably not going to play it. You can easily look that up online and hear it all you want.
All right. But I'm real sad about all these people dying. It's just, you know, I don't know, it's just that. But then one thing I was thinking about with people with all these illnesses, they passed, I think it passed in Illinois. I don't listen to the news as closely as I used to. I just don't. But anyhow, assisted suicide, I think, passed in Illinois, and I don't know how that would affect life insurance.
Oh, it's not an easy answer. So I'm going to leave assisted suicide off the table for this particular show. But I would say if you're considering it, you better check with your life insurer first. My guess, if I had to guess, and I could be totally wrong, is that if you had a condition that was said to be fatal, no matter what, and the doctors all agreed that you were going to be a goner when this happened, in that case, then I would assume the insurance company might pay it off. But might is the operative word there. You got to call.
Yeah.
But you bring up a good question. I'm going to see if I can find anything online. I never thought about this, but how would assisted suicide affect life insurance? That's a good question.
I don't know. I mean, if I could see if I was in real terrible pain, I guess, you know, probably my cousin Mike is going to do it if he gets bedridden that lives with me, if he gets real.
Okay, it does not, I mean, does not automatically void life insurance. It's state by state. But it does not automatically void. And that's what I thought, depending upon what the underlying condition is. But you want to check with your policy first, assuming you have life insurance.
So. Yeah, he does. I do, too. Yeah, I have pretty good life insurance policy.
What are you worried about? Do you have kids?
Well, no. I mean, it's just that I spent, since I was 5 years old, in the funeral parlor. And I came from, so the Albert side was so big, I just always am thinking about when is it my turn? I can't help it. I mean, there's just
It's one thing to set aside money for your burial, but if you don't have any heirs, direct heirs, why the hell would you have life insurance?
Well, if I die suddenly in a car accident, cousin Mike would get everything. And
right. Your cousin Mike would get whatever assets you had anyway. Why are you paying for a monthly policy to enrich him further? Just something to think about.
Because I want to.
Well, then you go right ahead and do it.
Okay.
All right. Talk to you later. Yeah, absolutely. You want to? That's fine. I don't get it myself. But there you have it. Certainly, if you have heirs, and certainly if it's a situation where you don't have the money for your burial, then you're talking about those little policies that you can get that you hear about from Colonial Penn and everybody else. But in terms of major policies, I think you probably need heirs. Just me. All right. So we have a half hour to talk about whatever's on your mind. Coming up on WGN Radio.
Love you, but long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you. If you should ever leave me, well, life would still go on, believe me. The was sure nothing to me. So what good would living do me? God only knows what I'd be without you.
WGN Radio, I'm Ali James, and yes, that was Jim's request. I hope he heard it. I think he's talking to John, but hopefully he heard it because I'm not playing it again. There's only so much I can take. It's the flip side, actually, of Wouldn't It Be Nice, 1966, on Capitol, and it was co-written by Tony Asher, who was a big figure in Pet Sounds all the way around. He co-wrote 8 of the songs on that album, including Wouldn't It Be Nice and God Only Knows. And so English-American is a jingle writer mostly, but did some other stuff too. All right, Bertha is a first-time caller in the Quad Cities. Welcome to WGN Radio, Bertha. Hello, Bertha. Well, she was there a moment ago, and a first-time caller, too. Bertha, where did you go? All right, she wanted to talk about the Beach Boys, and I'll be happy to do that, but apparently she's gone. So, Bertha, I see. Bertha's going to call us back. I don't know what's going on with that, but John is figuring it out, and taking your calls, by the way, at 888-876-5593. Now we'll try Bertha again. Are you there, Bertha?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hello. Hello, Bertha. Well, thanks for calling.
Oh, well, thank you for that wonderful program you have.
Well,
yes, and I just wanted to mention that at Christmas time, the radio station down here in the Quad Cities always play Christmas music.
Yeah.
All through the month of December.
Right.
Now, I always say, now, we can't have Christmas until the Beach Boys play
Little Saint Nick.
That's right.
Well, that, and you got to have Jingle Bell Rock by Bobby Helms, too. Can't live without that.
That's true. That's right, too. Always nice to hear those songs.
Yeah, you betcha.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Well, I'm so glad you called. I saw Quad Cities and immediately got hungry for a Made Right hamburger.
Oh, yes.
Well, think of me next time you have one. All right. Thanks.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Yeah. You know, the Christmas music thing, and that's an interesting thing because every year stations go all Christmas, and some do it as early as October. And in-house disc jockeys and radio people just deride that, say, this is just terrible, which, you know, I'd be kind of on that side too. But the ratings prove that people want to hear it. And astounding to me, but every year, you know, October, come on with that. And that's sort of a pet peeve of mine anyway. We've obliterated Thanksgiving. And of course, you know, you got back to school, and then the next thing you know, the Christmas decorations go up. You know, it's 2 minutes past Labor Day, and that's it. Never mind Halloween. You know, that gets a couple of shelves. But then Thanksgiving is just, like I say, pretty much obliterated. And I admit there aren't many Thanksgiving songs. You know, how many times can you play Let's Turkey Trot? And they weren't thinking about Thanksgiving when they wrote it. But that said, I mean, traditionally, the Christmas holiday started the day after Thanksgiving. You know, well, of course, for merchants, I guess that's still the case, Black Friday, but it was from the day after Thanksgiving until Christmas Day. Not anymore. Yeah, and I'd be surprised if September doesn't come and the minute the back-to-school sales are over, if the Christmas decorations aren't up virtually everywhere, but we'll see. And I also realize, of course, that for retailers, it's truly make it or break it. Many of them make the bulk of their income in Christmas sales. So that's why we always look come the beginning of January to see those tallies, because if Christmas wasn't good, for many people, that means you're out of business. Yeah, so I get that financially, I really do. But it still seems like there should be a movement to resurrect Thanksgiving to the position it rightly belongs. Now, of course, I also realize that now we get into the politics of the day and people are saying, well, you shouldn't be thankful. Oh, please. Yes, you should. All right, that's right, I've spoken. That's as far as we'll go on that. So 888-876-5593. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. And it does seem like we're losing a lot of people. You know, Sly Stone, and then of course Brian Wilson. In some case, Brian Wilson outlived anybody's expectation. You know, making it to 82 years old, considering what he put his own body through with substance abuse and of course the psychological problems that he dealt with all those years. It's amazing that he made it to 82. But when we look at this all the time, like I think it was Cindy who was saying, all these people are dying. Well, we're getting to that age. Absolutely. And nobody's going to say anybody who dies at 82 died young. You know, it's the natural life cycle. So, yeah, rest in peace, Brian Wilson. I'm sure he's in a much, much better place now. So what else do I want to tell you? See what else is going on that I've been ignoring. Well, Shirley Alston of the Shirelles turned 84 yesterday, and she's still with us. Born in Henderson, North Carolina, and absolutely still with us. Sadly, Mickey Harris died in 1982 of a heart attack, just 41 years old, and Doris Coley died in 2000 from breast cancer. She was 58. But Shirley Alston, the lead singer of the Shirelles, still going strong. And Joey D, as in Joey D and the Starlighters, turned 88 today. Yeah, born in Passaic in 1937. So you betcha, 88. And we have Pookie Hudson, who would have been 91 today, sadly no longer with us, died quite a while ago now, 2007 in Capitol Heights, Maryland, cancer. He was 72. But if you look at the Spaniels, man, it's not pretty, of course. Ernest Warren died in 2012, but he was 78. So, and Willie Jackson was 79 in 2015 when he died. And Opal Courtney made it to 71. And Gerald Gregory, only 64, died in 1999. So I think that that pretty much is it for the Spaniels. And what a shame as far as that goes. Janet Vogel would have turned 83 yesterday. And she was the wonderful voice in the skyline. And sadly committed suicide in 1980, 37 years old. It was very sad. Of course, the Skyliners had a couple hits on Calico in the early 60s, big hits too. They were great, you know, Jimmy Beaumont's group. But Janet had married a cop who turned out to be abusive, and he had a lot of influential friends, and basically no one was believing her. And so finally she ended it. Her son made a movie about her about a decade ago now, appropriately called Since I Don't Have You, which I'll try to see if that's around, because I never did watch it, but I'd like to. We've got Howlin' Wolf, who would have turned 115 yesterday, born in 1910 in Mississippi. Of course, moved to Chicago and became quite the successful Chicago blues singer and guitarist, harmonica player. And he was 65 when he died. It was surgery complications. Kidney, I think, was it at the VA hospital in Hines. So what else do we have? On this date in 1960, Dick Clark's Saturday Night Show had the Crests. Johnny Maestro doing Trouble in Paradise. Bobby Darin was doing Bill Bailey, Won't You Please Come Home. But the Skyliners were on the bill. Yeah, I don't know, maybe a little Pennies from Heaven there, not sure. And Paul Evans, Seven Little Girls Sitting in the Backseat, kissing and hugging with Fred. Yeah. John listened to that and said, how could they get seven back there? It doesn't matter. And Paul, of course, primarily a jingle writer and did very well with that. But Seven Little Girls on the, what label was that? On Guaranteed. That's right, it's on Guaranteed, which actually was a sub-label of Joe Carlton's Carlton Group. So, yeah. Ray Stevens was on American Bandstand on this date in 1963 doing Harry the Hairy Ape, made his escape from the city zoo in the cover of The Darkness. All right. Harry Nilsson, on this date in 1967, was in the studio for RCA, recording his original composition, One. Nobody heard it for 2 years when it became a breakthrough hit for Three Dog Night. Yeah, that would do it. And on this date in 1969, Gary Lewis and the Playboys were on The Tonight Show. Yeah, so that's a lineup of what was going on. In terms of what's going on now, if it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. 888-876-5593, right here on WGN Radio.
Got it bad, and I know it for sure. You said the only one that can fill your prescription. Oh yeah, and this feeling I've got ain't got but one description. I think you got a thing called love. It's got a hold on. Control of me, love-itis, got a hold on me, love-itis, it's got control of me, ah. Yeah, 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 sucky, 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 watch out, watch out, ha. Well, I tried so hard, but I couldn't run away. Oh no, my fever gets higher day by day. Yes it does, y'all. This feeling I've got is like a disease, yeah. And it's really got me down. It's got a hold on me. Talking about this thing they call love.
WGN Radio, I'm Roddy James. That's Harvey Scales and the Seven Sounds. Love-itis. And that was on Magic Touch. That was a little Milwaukee label in 1967. So there you have it. And that was Stephanie from Madison's request. And I don't think I played it the other day. But if I did, well, you got to hear it twice. That's about all I can say. We were also talking the other day about the end of an era that Hudson's Bay, if you've spent any time in Canada, well, you know that department store, oldest retailer in the country after 355 years, all gone now. Now, we've known for a little while this was coming, but even so, when the last one closed, sad. And I started to think about the consolidation of department stores. And we started to touch on this and then got into other things. But it's interesting to see that Macy owns the world, basically. If it ain't Macy's, it's Dillard's. But Federated Department Stores, which is now based in New York, used to be in Cincinnati, and what all they've owned. And literally, it's virtually every local name you knew. And so we'll maybe go over that. But we've got Naoto, and he is in Japan. So Naoto, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Oh, thank you. I just wanted to chat a little bit about international callers like me.
All right.
I'm curious, have you ever had regular international callers? Like,
I have
calling from Spain or...
Yeah, in the past I have had them. Currently, you are the only one. Now, we had had a couple from Canada, but I haven't heard from them in a while. But what I do get occasionally, and this is with a little AM radio station I own in Arizona, I'll get mail from people in places like Finland to say, I heard your radio station, and they'll send a little audio clip saying, could you send me confirmation? And I get them a QSL card and things like that. But so, the years I've had quite a few. I'll never say that it's big enough numbers, but what does surprise me on my streams from my AM station, the station that plays obscure oldies, man, I'll tell you what,
KJAA?
Yeah, KJAA. I'll tell you what, I own Belarus, Russia, and I also, and there's some city in Germany I can't find on a map that has at least half a dozen people that listen far too often. So, you just never know.
Oh, interesting.
So now let me ask you, what else do you listen to besides me?
I listen to like sometimes I listen to 3AW in Australia.
Okay, all right.
And I used to listen to a lot of different stations, but I currently listen mainly WGN.
Okay.
So there's not much other stations I'm currently listening.
Interesting. Well, of course, WGN is pretty much live 24 hours a day, and and local, and we try to talk about things that don't matter, so it's not the political humdrum. So that's good. That's good. But you mentioned Australia. I used to listen to a station in Brisbane, 4IP, and they were a top 40 station in Brisbane in the 60s. But long before there was an internet. I have no idea what 4IP is doing now or if they even exist. And the big one in Sydney used to be 2KY. And I don't know if they're there either anymore. Yeah, so there's a... But 3, that sounds like you're listening to Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, well, that's neat.
Interesting. I'll check 4IP and the 2KY.
Yeah, see if they're still there. Yeah, who knows? Now, so in Japan, do any of the stations play American music?
I think some do.
Yeah.
But I don't think major ones are broadcasting American music that frequently, as far as I know.
Okay, yeah, well, that's interesting. Years ago, there was a guy who was a radio consultant, and he convinced NBC to bring over a group from Japan to have a television show. And the group was called Pink Lady. Now, the only problem... they were a hit, apparently, back in the day. The only problem was me and Key of Pink Lady could not speak one word of English. Not a word. And so... So the show became Pink Lady and Jeff. I don't even remember who Jeff was, but that poor SOB had to do a show with two Japanese women who couldn't speak English. I'm sure there are clips of it. Then the other thing that Dr. Demento used to play was a Tokyo band that was around in the 70s, Yellow Magic Orchestra. And YMO. And Yellow Magic Orchestra was right from Tokyo, and YMO, and they did a hilarious version of Tighten Up, the Archie Bell and the Drells song. You know, on the intro where Archie Bell normally says, "Hi, everybody, I'm Archie Bell, Houston, Texas. I only sing but dance," you know, all that stuff. They say, "Hi, we're YMO of Tokyo. We don't only sightsee, but we..." Just hilarious. And if you can find that, you'll check that out. Or I'll try to find it and play it for you.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, it's great to hear from you, Naoto.
Yeah. Thank you so much, as always.
Okay, bye. All right, deal. Yeah, I'll have to find that. Yeah, YMO, Yellow Magic Orchestra. But Dr. Demento, yeah. Japanese gentlemen, stand up, please. Yeah, on the horn break on Tighten Up. It just somehow fit very well. All right, so we've got about 4 minutes. Now, tomorrow is Thursday. I know you know that already because it's already Thursday in Chicago. I get that. That means tonight we have more Stanley Cup playoffs. And the deal is, you know, with hockey, you just don't know. With the Blackhawks, you usually do. But with other with the finals, you don't know. And so I don't know if we'll be on time at 10 o'clock or whether we'll be delayed by 10 minutes or 20 minutes or an hour, you know, whatever it is. So check in at 10 o'clock 21 hours from now. And if it's still the game, check back every 10 minutes or so because we'll be on after it. But, yeah, it was amazing to me to think when I was reading about this Hudson's Bay closure about what, what used to be the Ma and Pa stores everywhere. And of course, Federated, which was originally more of a buying group, much like Allied for department stores all over, but Federated had been based in Cincinnati. And that was an amalgamation of Lazarus, which was from Columbus in the 1850s. And in 1929, like months before the Wall Street crash, Fred Lazarus met with Walter Rothschild. Now, not the Rothschild banking family, Rothschild, who owned Abraham and Strauss, and that was in Brooklyn. as well as Edward Filen of Boston. So the three guys got on a yacht, Long Island Sound, and they agreed to merge their stores to form Federated. And so that was the holding company for Lazarus & Company, and including the Cincinnati division. And as you probably know, there could be a quiz later, the Cincinnati division of Lazarus & Company was Shillitoe's, right? So Abraham and Sprouse and Filene. So that was Bloomingdale joined in 1930. And so, there were interesting times for department stores, and there were a lot of acquisitions. And then, of course, when Macy's declared bankruptcy in 92, Federated acquired that, and so much in the Broadway stores and all that. But I took a look at the list, and by the way, the Broadway stores were also talking about Bullocks and all that, and Seattle-based Bon Marché and Bon Macy's and Goldsmiths in Tennessee, that's in Memphis, and Birdines in Florida, Rich's in Atlanta, and all that. But you look at it, and man, it's just unbelievable to think that under one ownership, A. Harris, which, you know, had merged with Sanger Brothers, Sanger Harris, Abraham and Strauss, After Hours, Bon Marché, Boston Store, Broadway, Bullocks, Birdines, the Emporium, Famous Bar, and on the list goes. But it's virtually a who's who to think that they're all under one banner now. Filene's and Foley's and Goldsmith's, I mentioned Hex, I. Magnin, Jordan Marsh, which had been Allied, as you know, for a while. That got converted to a Macy's ultimately. Kaufman's, L.S. Ayers, Lazarus, like I mentioned, Lord & Taylor, Marshall Fields, I'm sorry, but true, Meyer & Frank, Ralph's, Rich's, Richway, Reich's, Robinson's, May Company, Sanger Brothers, Sanger Harris, Shillitoe's. Hard to believe all, we talk about all the Strawbridges. I shouldn't leave out Strawbridges or Stearns or Weinstocks and more. But to think that, we talk about the consolidation, to think that all of that is under one banner is startling. So I'll limp off now, and 21 hours from now I will recover, and we'll talk again. Until then, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. I'll talk to you tomorrow night on WGN Radio.